This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening. As always, go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Get your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Great resource, absolutely no cost to you, simply for subscribing via email to our email list. We'll get you sent, get that sent to you. So again, go check that out at no cost to you. All right, the drug of the day today is isosorbide mononitrate. Brand name of this medication is Imdur, and you'll most often see this medication used on a chronic basis for the prevention of angina symptoms, and indeed, that's exactly where I've seen it used in clinical practice. How does this work? Well, it's a nitrate, so naturally it's going to form nitric oxide. Nitric oxide activates guanylate cyclase, which increases cyclic GMP. Ultimately, an increase in cyclic GMP causes smooth muscle relaxation, and the long and the short of it is we're going to get some vasodilation from that. And Imdur, isosorbide mononitrate, is more specific for the veins versus the arteries. It does have some action on the arteries as well, but it's going to have more action on the veins. So ultimately what this is going to do for the heart is reduce oxygen demand and reduce that preload because of that dilation of the veins. So dosing, there is two dosage formulations of isosorbide mononitrate. There is an immediate release formulation, which I can't say I've seen in quite some time. Reason being is it requires twice daily dosing. And the other unique thing, which I'll talk about with the tolerance factor, is you kind of got to dose that a little bit earlier in the day. You're typically not going to do 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. probably with twice daily dosing. So having a patient taken at 3, 4, 5 p.m. Is probably going to be a little bit difficult for some people with their schedule. So again, not going to see immediate release used very often at all. The extended release formulation is probably what you're going to see, and that is once daily dosing. Usual dosage range that I've seen in practice is kind of 30 to maybe up to 120 milligrams per day. 240 is the max. I can't say I've seen that dose in a long time, but it certainly is there and is available that way. So again, isosorbide mononitrate, using it for anti-angina prevention. So this is a huge patient education point. If it's being used for prevention, it's not used to treat an acute angina attack. And just getting briefly into the kinetics of this medication, the onset of action is 30 plus minutes for this medication to start working. So naturally, it's not going to be effective acutely if it doesn't have a quick onset of action. So this is not a replacement or a substitute for, let's say, sublingual nitroglycerin or nitroglycerin spray that works acutely to help relieve chest pain symptoms. This is more on the preventative side. So somebody that's having numerous angina attacks, and we're going to use long-acting nitrate, like isosorbide mononitrate, to help reduce the frequency of those angina-type episodes. All right, let's get into adverse effects a little bit. So first and foremost, headache. That is going to be the most prominent adverse effect with nitrates in general. And if you think about it from a mechanism of action standpoint, that vasodilation of the arteries and vessels in the brain, that can lead to symptoms of headache. So that's definitely a problem. Something to pay attention to, and obviously identify how well your patients tolerate that. Other side effects, flushing. So this is a redness of the face, neck area. That can obviously happen from that vasodilation. When you've got a medication that does that, that is certainly a risk. Dizziness falls in line with that drop in blood pressure potentially. Sometimes you may see some sedation or CNS depressant type effects from this medication as well. Rarely you may see some cardiac rhythm changes, some pace changes. So that's definitely something we're going to monitor as well, just with checking out that pulse. All right, let's get into the tolerance issue. This always comes up on board exams and that type of thing. So pay attention to this for sure. So what is tolerance? So tolerance is basically the body adapting to having the medication around and the medication not being as effective. So nitrates exhibit tolerance. So essentially what we need to do is have nitrate-free time periods, and the IMDR product, dose once daily, the extended release, does give us that. This medication's got a half-life in the range of 5 to 6 hours, so as you can imagine, after a couple of half-lives, two or three half-lives, that medication is pretty close to gone out of the body, or at least at very low concentrations. But if we were to take, let's say, the extended-release product twice a day, you're going to likely run into the issue where the effectiveness is going to decline because we're not having that nitrate-free period. So again, that's why the medications are kind of set up the way they are, where the extended-release product does have some extension over most of the day, but it does allow, as concentrations drop, for that little bit of nitrate-free time period. And then if you're taking the immediate release, that's why the dosing is a little bit more specific around the time frame that we give it, and that you're probably going to see that at 8 a.m., you know, and maybe in that 3 to 5 p.m. range, and that probably gives us a little bit of time at night when we're getting a solid kind of nitrate-free or nitrate-low concentration period to prevent that tolerance issue. Other kinetic parameters to think about, probably the biggest one is onset of action. Again, that plays into that patient education role, where this is not a medication for acute relief of angina symptoms. So really, really important piece to educate your patients on there. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for any pharmacist board certification study materials, check out the link in the show notes. We've got BCMTMS, BCPS, NAPLEX, Ambulatory Care, Geriatrics, and many, many other resources as well if you're not a pharmacist. So go check that out. Support the sponsor. You can find all those links in the show notes or at meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. All right, wrapping up with drug interactions. So first and foremost, we've got the PDE5 inhibitors used for sexual dysfunction, brand names like Viagra, Cialis. So generic names, sildenafil, vardenafil, tadalafil. These medications shouldn't be taken with nitrates, specifically for sildenafil and vardenafil. 24 hours apart is what it needs to be. Tadalafil actually has a longer half-life and needs a longer separation. You shouldn't take these medications within 48 hours of each other. And I actually did a post on this. So if you Google search MedEd 101 recommended separation for nitrates and PDE5 inhibitors, did a nice blog post on kind of explaining this and what's recommended and what's not. So if you just want to give that a Google search, you can certainly access that if you want some more reading on that. Alcohol. I think it is important in general to, at a minimum, have patients be cautious with alcohol. Ideally, it would be best to avoid alcohol. Drop in blood pressure is what can potentially happen. I've also seen an exacerbation of flushing. Alcohol tends to do that in general, for some people more than others, where they get the redness in the face and that type of thing. And having adding alcohol on top of a nitrate-type product, you're potentially going to worsen that drop in blood pressure, maybe create some dizziness, and then that flushing may be exacerbated by that as well. Of course, we've got to think about other blood pressure medications that the patient is taking. When we add on isosorbide mononitrate, let's say we're managing angina, adding it onto a beta blocker or a calcium channel blocker, for example, that blood pressure can certainly drop further. So really got to pay attention to dizziness, monitoring blood pressure with patients taking both these type of medications. And then the flushing reaction, there is some potential of niacin, another medication that is kind of notorious for causing flushing. So that's kind of an additive type drug interaction. And then with CYP enzymes, things like that, we really don't have to worry about that with isosorbide mononitrate. So that is definitely a good thing for sure. So with that, I'm going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a rating review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Greatly appreciate that. It helps us get the word out, the message out about this podcast, and obviously helps me educate more people about pharmacology. Be sure you check out the Flippin' Pharmacology flashcards, a great resource for anyone going through pharmacology classes, whether you're a nurse, pharmacist, med student. I've pulled out a lot of clinical practice pearls and put a lot of that information within those flashcards, as well as a lot of the information you hear on the podcast in a nice, well-organized fashion. So again, you can find those on Amazon if you're in the U.S., Flippin' Pharmacology flashcards. With that, I am going to sign off for today. If you want to reach out to me, mededucation101@gmail.com, or you can track me down at LinkedIn. And I thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.